I consider it a great privilege to be able to preach to you. Before I do start, I want to share something with you. I hope you'll enjoy this day. You'll enjoy every day. You know, we read in the scriptures that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But we tend to worry, and we don't enjoy the day God gives us. And David Powell said something one time that I want to share with you. It really impressed me. He said, everybody knows the shoe's going to fall one of these days. That means something bad is going to happen to us. We know that. We're sinners. We live on a sin-cursed earth. So obviously, in our lives, some bad things are going to happen. So David said, well, how should we react? Should we just worry about that all the time and not enjoy the day? Or should we enjoy the good times God gives us and just let it come when it happens? That's the latter way we ought to do it, isn't it? You ought to enjoy the day. Some bad things are going to happen. You're going to die one of these days. Your loved ones are going to die. Things are going to happen unexpectedly to you. So you can sit around and worry about that all the time. But what you ought to do is enjoy the time God gives you. This is a great day God gives us. Enjoy that. And so make that a mental effort to do that, because the devil wants to rob us of our joy. If we really trust God's sovereignty, the more we trust his sovereignty, the more we will be able to enjoy the day and trust God. And so you sang number 611. Let me read that last verse that struck me when we were singing that. Why do we then indulge our fears, suspicions, and complaints? Is he a God, and shall his grace grow weary of his saints? So enjoy the day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, this is going to be a very sobering message, and I hope that you will be listening very carefully. I believe God placed it on my heart. I'm looking forward to preaching it. It may not be the most pleasant message ever preached. And I'm going to call this, Why Preach Through 1 Peter? I'm planning on preaching through 1 Peter. And I want you to pray for me very hard about that, because I'm going to write a commentary while I'm going through that. I'm tempted not to write the commentary, because it's really hard work, very hard work. It'd be a whole lot easier to get up a bunch of sermons and preach through it. But I want to leave something behind. I hope we have blessing to God's people. So pray for me. It's a labor. I wrote a commentary on Philippians. I enjoyed it, but there's a lot of work involved in that. So I want you to be praying for me about that. Now, what I'm going to do, first of all, I'm going to give you some preliminary before I even get into 1 Peter and tell you why I'm going to preach through 1 Peter. The first thing I'm going to do is read you a letter that you'll be reading pretty soon. It's the February newsletter that I wrote to the church. So I want you to listen to this very carefully. Dear brothers and sisters, we read in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. It's very obvious that we're now living in a time when the wicked bear rule. It's a time to mourn. However, just as it is when a Christian loved one dies, we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We may be sorrowful, but we're not consumed by our sorrow, because we live in hope. Our hope is based on the fact we serve the God who's on his throne. He rules over all. I've developed a habit, and you listen to this, I've developed this habit, and it's helping me. I've developed a habit that I encourage each of you to follow. When I think, as I frequently do, both day and night, of who is ruling in this United States right now, I feel a pang of deep regret and of fear. Then I instantly and consciously remind myself that my God, who created and sustains the universe, is ultimately in control of this world. I immediately feel much better. This process sometimes takes place many times each day. You do that. You remind yourself every time you get afraid, God, you're on the throne. He is on the throne, and that helps me out a bunch. It is very timely that Brother Isaac has begun a series of sermons for the book of Esther. Follow these sermons closely and read and reread Esther. This is a story of how God delivered his people in a wonderful way while he utterly defeated the enemies of his people while they were at the very height of their power. At the same time, I am on the verge of preaching through 1 Peter. This is an epistle that treats of God's people living in a time of persecution. The book is not gloomy and pessimistic. It reminds us that we are strangers and pilgrims in this present world. It points to the unspeakably glorious future that is certain for each and every one of the blood-bought children of God. 1 Peter instructs us on how we should think and behave in this present evil world. Read and meditate on this book as well. While you're doing this, consider the powerful book of Revelation. The story of Revelation is summed up in the titles of three commentaries I've read on it. Now, I mentioned these when I was preaching through Revelation a long time ago. Just listen to these three titles. This is the sum of the book of Revelation. Behold the Lamb. Behold, He cometh, and more than conquers. That sums up Revelation. Behold the Lamb. I think that's Ray Summers. Behold, He cometh. That's Herman Hooksema. More than conquerors, William Henderson. That's the theme of Revelation. We cannot be strong in ourselves. We can and must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's why I wanted to read Ephesians 6 today. We need to be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Now I'm going to read, before I get down to actually starting in 1 Peter, I want to read you Ezekiel 33 a little bit. This is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm doing this. And by the way, I want to be like Winston Churchill. I'm not like Winston Churchill. I'm not an orator like Churchill. But here's what I really want to do. They say about Churchill, he told it like it was. He didn't try to sugarcoat things. When Britain was fixing to enter World War II, and fixing to go through the Blitz and all that, the Battle of Britain, that the RAF won, and all that. I won't get into history now. I get sidetracked, but the Lord did all that. But Churchill told it like it was, but he also inspired the people to be strong. That's what I want to do. He didn't sugarcoat it. Some people try to sugarcoat stuff. We can't sugarcoat things. He didn't sugarcoat it a bit. He told them what a terrible time they're in. He also gave them a lot of hope. That's what I want to do today. Now look at Ezekiel 33. This is what I'm doing this morning. Ezekiel 33, a few verses here. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. That's what I'm going to do today, is blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, that's you, and taketh not warning, just let it go in one ear and out the other, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. So if you're indifferent, and you think life's just going to be going as usual, you're going to be lazy, then I don't envy you. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman say the sword, come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I acquire at the watchman's hand. So I'm just sounding a warning today. You know the sword's on the land. We know that. I don't know what all the future is going to hold, but the sword is on the land, and we don't need to be in despair. God's on the throne. We just need to get strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So here goes my sermon now. And by the way, if anybody ever wants any of my sermon notes, I don't always stick slavishly to my sermon notes. I have prompters here to help me. So if you ever want these, let me know. I'll let you have them. I also have a unit of scripture list. First Peter is in the context of persecution, as is most of the New Testament. You think about that. We have lived in unusual times the last 200 years. Unusual times if you know anything about history at all. We're used to that. As Professor Hanko, a friend of mine, who I talked to not long ago, a 90-year-old man who wrote a wonderful commentary on First Peter called A Pilgrim's Manual, we've become so comfortable in our country, we've lost our desire to go to heaven. That's about the truth. We got all kind of electronic gadgets. We got all kinds of conveniences. We eat very well. We're materialistic. And I'm glad for all those blessings, but it tends to take it away from our heavenly perspective. He's right about that. But if you think about the New Testament, just go with me for a moment. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are filled with persecution, every one of them. Look at them. Matthew 5, blessed are they persecuted for righteousness' sake. John, they're going to hate you because they hated me. All the Gospels. What about the book of Acts? The early church, filled with the Holy Spirit, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, filled with persecution. Is it not? They got beaten. They got arrested. Stephen died as a martyr. All the apostles except John died as martyrs. The apostle Paul died at Nero's hand, but only after he completed his work and God got through with him. What about the epistles? I guess almost all the epistles have something in there about suffering and persecution. Right? The Pauline epistles, Peter's epistle, the book of Hebrews had a whole lot about suffering, persecution. Doesn't it? How about Peter? How about the old Philemon? A guy getting out of jail. Y'all get the picture? How about Jude? contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. How about Revelation? John's on the Isle of Patmos as an exile, and God appeared to him this wonderful vision of the struggle between God and the devil, and guess who wins? God wins. And guess who wins with God? All his people. I love the fourth chapter of Revelation because we've seen suffering of the first three chapters, all the seven churches of Asia going through one degree of persecution or another. We couldn't get kind of down, could we? But then there's a voice, you read Revelation chapter 4, that a voice says, come up here. The little window, I don't know how big it was, a window open to heaven, to come up here and look. And my friend then, Katie barred the door. It's wonderful. You see history from God's perspective. And the first thing you see is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty in chapter 4 and chapter 5. Keep on rolling. And there's a mighty struggle going on. Sometimes God's saints suffer. They're victorious all the time. At the very end, guess where the old devil goes? Cast into a lake of fire. All the wrongs made right. And then in chapter 19, my friend, a wonderful scene. The saints are going wild saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Then we enter into history. And you know one thing about persecution, it makes us homesick for heaven, and God wants us to be homesick for heaven. The last prayer in the Bible, my friend, even so come Lord Jesus. That's the last prayer. You pray it half-heartedly, and I do. But my friend, when the time comes that things get rough, it may not be so quite so half-hearted. We might really mean that prayer. Alright? So, that's why I want to preach through 1 Peter. True Christianity is, I'm just going to make some statements I wrote down. It's proper, so listen to this. And I'll elaborate on them. True Christianity is under increasing attack in the USA and other parts of the world. That's the truth. True Christianity is an increasing attack on the United States and in most other places in the world. We keep up with a lot. Like India, Brother Gunnar. They're tightening the noose on Brother Gunnar in India. They're tightening the noose in Siberia where we've been. You all know China and other places like that. In the Middle East. My friend, I don't know what's happening prophetically. I'm not a prophetic student. You don't know either. But I say something's going on in this old world. True Christianity is increasingly under attack. We've been free in the United States to a great extent. If you look at 2020, which was the worst century in the history of the world, that people who keep up with that say, about martyrdoms. And we just haven't experienced it here yet, may not, but in the world in general, you can't believe the number of people who get our lives because of their belief. That's the truth. That's the truth. You ought to get a hold of Mindy Bell from World Magazine. She's been all those places. All kind of books written about that. If you open your eyes, persecution has really been increasing in the world. Now listen to this. You know this. You want to be sober when you leave here today, but hopeful. 1 Peter is sober, but hopeful. Real hopeful. Real hopeful, but real sober. There are many abominations be promoted by the powers that be. Abortion. This is the sanctity of life Sunday. I don't know whether they permit them to go to the Capitol today. I don't know if I'm keeping up right now today. It's a sad last year, our president or his representative did stand fast with pro-life people. It's the opposite today. We got blood all over our hands, up to the elbow. I don't know where Ruth Bader Ginsburg is, but I got an idea where she's at. She had blood for her armpits. She's dead now. Harry Blackman, who wrote the decision in 1973, he's been somewhere for a long time. I don't think I will go where old Harry's at. This is serious stuff, folks. It's killing of the unborn. The LGBT, and they keep adding numbers to that. Ungodly, unbelievable, abominable. That is really in the driver's seat today. Social justice, and I got that in quotation marks. I believe in true social justice. That's not what we're seeing promoted today. Extreme environmentalism. I'm an environmentalist, but not extreme. You know what that is? That's earth worship. It's not anything new about that. The pagan worship Gaia, the Mother Earth. Nothing new about that, just a new veneer on it. Attack on the family. The attack on the father's authority. I'll tell you what, on the endangered species is men today, Christian men on the endangered species list. I hate what you're doing. But I applaud you, Father, trying to be good, godly leaders of your households. These pagans, I'm calling them pagans, that's what they are. I'm not being mean about this, I'm just calling it like it is. Pagans, who don't believe in God, that's what a pagan is. These pagans used to tolerate opposition as an annoyance. They did for a long time. We annoyed them for a long time now. They used to tolerate us as just an annoyance. But now, they are militantly against any opposition, as you well know. Especially from Christians. Christians are called homophobes. I'm not a homophobe. I just don't like homosexuality. But I'm not a homophobe. Practitioners of hate speech. I don't preach hate speech. I just preach the Bible. Intolerance. I'm not intolerant. I just believe what God's Word says. I'm just hitting off the tip of the iceberg, as you well know. If you don't keep up a little bit, I don't keep up much anymore. I'm not going to let my mind be in that cesspool all the time. If there's something I can do, I'll do it. If there's something I can't do, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to give me the Word of God. I do recommend Al Mohler. You can get a half an hour in the morning. And if you'll get some exercise, you can walk for 25 minutes while you listen to him. He kind of keeps you up. The power centers are under the control or heavy influence by these ideas. So listen to the power centers. See, the deck is stacked against us, but guess who is above them? They may have surveillance, but guess who's surveilling them? They may be watching us with, like over in India, up in China with this face recognition and voice recognition stuff, and they think, guess who's watching their faces? And listen to what they're saying. Guess who's going to win? Listen, it's kind of fun. I shouldn't say fun. It's exciting to live now. What are you going to do, God? Let's wake up, Christians. We muddle along. We just kind of the way we're made. We just kind of do what we got to do. But I tell you what, when things get rough, my friend, God will wake us up and give us power and insight and strength like we never thought of before. That's why he did the early church. Those people in the book of Acts that my friend did so wonderfully and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in the face of persecution were human beings just like you and I are, normal people, but they had an extra dose of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. And he'll give us all the Holy Ghost we can take. Boy, I love the Holy Ghost, don't y'all? Don't y'all? Man, listen, I just got to share this with you. I went to a funeral yesterday. Judy and I went to Wanda Honeycutt's funeral. That's David McAvella's mother-in-law, Terry's mother. And I'm telling you what, that David cut loose, riding that old gospel horse. He spurred that sucker with the Holy Ghost, held a loose rein, and just flew away. I've never been to such a funeral in my life. I should have shouted. I was amening out loud. The rest of them just sitting on their hands. Man, it's the grace of the same thing. We need a dose of the Holy Ghost. You know what Jerry Hutt used to say? Coast to coast of the Holy Ghost. All right, look. Here's the powers under control or heavy influence. The media. You know that. You know that. The media. I'm not going to get into politics, but I'm telling you it's scary when a media outlet can shut off the President of the United States. That's scary. That sounds like Nazi Germany. The media? Academia? Academia? Everybody in school, gotta watch it. Be careful. The entertainment industry, been a cesspool for years anyway. Even the government. Large corporations. I don't want to scare you, boys, but I tell you, we've got to be prepared to make a living. Some of you guys may be going to trades. Some of these days, it can be hard to get a corporate job if you don't go on their agenda. Go through some of this training they have to make you go through. And say things are right, they're not right. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not scared. I just said, we need to be alert. God takes care of us. He's got a way of taking care of us. He's already taking care of his people. Even sports organizations. Like the NBA caved in to China. Isn't that amazing? Makes you want to throw up, doesn't it? Caved into China. Refused to even say anything crook about them because they don't lose their market, the NBA. That's where we're at. All right. That's the bad news. Let me keep on going here. I'm being realistic. I'm being Winston Churchill, but I'm not through yet. Churchill wasn't through yet either. We should not be surprised. We have been greatly blessed to live in abnormal times, USA. I've already mentioned some of this. The 20th century was filled with persecution of Christians throughout much of the world. The entire New Testament is filled with persecution. In the United States, folks, a long time ago, and during the colonial period, I love American history, during the colonial period, the Baptists and other nonconformists suffered terrible persecution in New England and in Virginia. That's right. You know your history at all. The Baptists suffered terrible persecution and other nonconformists because they in Massachusetts and the Northeast, the Congregationalists or the Puritan Church was the established church. If you remember them, you're illegal. Read books by Isaac Backus. Isaac Backus wrote during then, the Baptists really carried the water for religious liberty. It's amazing how they even influenced in their early bodies. In fact, one time, Backus embarrassed John Adams very much. He went to one of the continental congresses, and he embarrassed John Adams. John Adams said, well, we want freedom from Great Britain. We want Great Britain. Adams said, why don't you let us have freedom in Massachusetts? He really embarrassed old John Adams. So the Baptists didn't have freedom in Massachusetts. And Virginia, my friend, I'm reading right now Semple's History of Virginia Baptists, the history of the riot and progress of the Baptists in Virginia. It's like reading the Acts of the Apostles. Like reading the Acts of the Apostles. But the Lord gave them some vim and vigor. They got put in jail. You know what they got put in jail? They get to the barn and preach a great big crowds outside. How about if people got converted? Isn't that amazing? And the good news in the counties in Virginia, that where the persecution was most severe, that's where they grew the most. When the devil tries to, the devil really messes up when he persecutes people. It looks like he'll learn. Because my friend, it's like stomping a fire out. You start trying to stomp a fire. If you don't get the thing, you're going to spread it instead of stomp it out. And the devil tried to stomp it out in Virginia, but he just spread and spread and spread and spread and spread. And finally, my friend, they got their religious liberty. Now let's look at some scriptures. Let's look at some scriptures. I might not be as long as you think I am. I'm not going to preach a long sermon. I just want to preach a sermon that had an effect upon you and glorifies God Almighty. Let's look at some scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:12. Write these down or at least get my left letter. This is the true Bible. Sometimes when we haven't experienced anything in a long time, it's almost hard to get a hold of the Bible, isn't it? Yea, and all, get that, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's the word of God. That's what the Bible says. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we're not suffering persecution, maybe we're not being godly enough. Now, I'm not asking for persecution. I'll tell you, I'm going to show you in a minute. We've got a right to pray against persecution. I don't want to get persecuted. I don't think, if it comes, I got to accept it. I will accept it. You will too. But I'm not asking for it. That's wrong to do that. Some people are so macho, they like they're asking for it. That's not the right attitude. I'll give you a prayer in a minute. God gives us a right to pray against persecution. He may honor that prayer. He has for a long time. Look at the words of our precious Savior in John chapter 15. The word of our dear Savior in John 15, verses 19 and 20. 15, 19 and 20. This is our dear Savior speaking to his disciples on his last night with them. His last night with them. If you were of the world, my friend, you're not of the world if you're one of God's children. You're not of the world. You live in the world, you're not of the world if you're one of God's children. Sometimes we get to acting like we're in the world, or we are the world. And then God says, I'm going to do something, turn the heat up a little bit, and separate the wheat from the chaff, and burn the dross off. If you are of the world will love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That's a pretty strong word, hate. But God knew what he meant. He meant what he said. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. That means they criticize every word you speak. They criticize every word Jesus Christ spoke. One time they even tried to vehemently, the New Testament used the word vehement, vehemently try to provoke him to say something inadvertently. In other words, it'd be like if I want to get Idy, if I want to really get him, I'd say nasty thing to Idy. Idy, you old lousy guy, you're not worth a flip. You're not worth shooting, like I tell my grandkids sometimes when I kid them. And just keep going until he reacts again, and then he does something. I got him then. They tried that of Christ. Isn't that ungodly? They tried that with the Son of God. They tried. Of course, he didn't respond. He's perfect. So don't be surprised when people catch you at your words. Be careful on this social media, by the way. Don't get on social media, start fighting people. That's wrong to do that. Even if you stand up for yourself, you've got to be on a godly way. And most of us are not godly, I'm telling you right now. You need to be Christ-like when you're entering people. I know you've got emotions. Sure you do. And I know some people say things that provoke you, that will tear you up. You be careful how you answer them. Be biblical about it. A soft answer turned away wrath, grievous words stir up anger. That's no point in Christian doing that. Don't do that. It's an embarrassment sometimes on social media how Christians, professed Christians, behave themselves or misbehave themselves. Don't do that. Either don't answer somebody if they don't cast your pearl before swine, if that's what they're acting like. If they're being real nasty, you're not helping them. Don't keep at it. If you can help them, help them. You're not going to help anybody making them mad. I guarantee you that. A man offended is harder to be won than a fenced city. Don't offend people by your... Now, stand for what's right. Don't be a wimp. But you go, we got to stand for what's right, but in a godly way. John 17:14, our precious Savior's high priestly prayer. He's talking to his dear Father. John 17:14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Brothers and sisters, can I say that again? You need to get a hold of this. You are not of this world if you're born again. You're not of this world. This world is not your home. I'm glad we're here. We're here for a reason. God put us on a mission. He said that again in John 17:18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also have I sent them into the world. The Lord is sending us into the world. Young people and old people and middle-aged people, He's sending us into the world to be salt and light. You be salt and light. Wherever you're at, school, business, neighborhood, going to the store, be salt and light. That's what we're sent here for. Spread the word of Jesus Christ. My friend, the condition were a lot worse in the early church period than they are now, a lot worse. You couldn't get more perverted than Nero was. It's unreal. Just like some of that stuff's unreal today too. But my friend, the gospel of Jesus Christ still spread because the Holy Ghost took a hold of men and women just like you are that love God and spread His gospel. And the Word of God had free course. Paul said, I'm bound, the Word of God not bound. When he's in the Philippian prison, he said, now don't worry about what's happening to me. This is falling out, rather, to the furtherance of the gospel. And it was. Right there, he's in the prison. Nero, I got him nailed. That dumbbell Nero. Everybody's a dumbbell in the love of God. They're fools. Guess where Paul's at? He's right there close to Nero, the praetorian guard. Nero's bodyguard is guarding him. Guess what God done? Converted some of those guys. Old Paul preaching to them. There's a captive audience. Boy, that must have been like, it's good to have a captive audience. They were captive, literally captive audience. Those praetorian guards were handcuffed to old Paul. They couldn't get away if they wanted to. I bet you old Paul preached it. Oh, man, I wish you'd shut up. You can't get tired of church sometimes. You should have been there, man. They had to listen. So Paul says, my being in jail is kept the gospel out. I've got what's in mysterious ways, His wonder to perform, I'm telling you. The Word of God will not be bound. All right. A few more. A few more here in a minute. Now let me just say this. If we go through persecution, our desire should be to remain faithful and glorify Him. If we do go through it. I'm not saying we will go through it, but we do. Let me tell you about that. Let's give a verse on that. Let me say that again. If we do go through persecution, our desire should be to be faithful to God and honor Him in that persecution. That ought to be our desire. That's what Paul wanted over in Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. Something I want very badly, he's saying. I want this very badly. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that nothing I shall be ashamed, but that all boldness, as always, so now so, Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I want Christ to be magnified in my body. If I die, if I live, I just don't want to let Him down. That's what our prayer ought to be. And you know, we got to have God's strength to do that, because we will let Him down if He's not with us. We're all cowards by nature. Peter, a very brave man, folded like a tent when the Lord did not took it, when God didn't hold him up. So we can't say, okay, I'm going to be bold. I'm not going to be one of those kind of guys that folds up. Yeah, you will until you fold like a tent if God's not with you. You know what you got to do? You have no option. You've got to walk close to God. That's what this message is about. You've got to walk close to God or you won't make it. You've got to abide in the vine, then you will bear fruit. And your parents teach their kids how to abide in the vine. That's your most important job, as you're raising your children. We help each other out, abide in the vine. All right? Now, it's proper to pray. We ought to pray. Do we not be persecuted? I do it all the time. I do it all the time. Every day I do it. Every day I've already done it today. Let's read the verse. You know what it is. But are you doing it? 1 Timothy 2:12. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications. No, it's not really 12. I got the wrong. But it's 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life and all godliness and honesty. That's what I want. That's all I want. That's all you really want. They won't let us do it, will they? I want to live under my vine, under my fig tree. I want to be in my precious church with you dear people and have a good time serving God. I want to be in my home with my children when they were there, my grandchildren, and just serve God and have some good time together. That's all we're asking for, isn't it? We're not after anybody. We're not condemning anybody. We're just staying for what's right. That's what we want. We ask to say, Lord, please let that be. He may not allow it to happen. But we're hoping that, aren't we? So pray that prayer all the time. Pray the prayer all the time. Now, my next point is this. If we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, this is one you got to put your seatbelt on. It's the truth. It's kind of hard to believe this one, but it's the truth. Ready? If we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, this is really a great blessing. Oh, Lord, I want that blessing. No, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't either. Let me prove it to you. Let me say it to you again. If you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, it's a great blessing. And you ought to count it honor. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will count it honor. Let me give you two scriptures on that. One is Philippians 1:29. Philippians 1:29. For to you is given. Now, this is a gift. He's going to mention two gifts here. Ready? Philippians 1:29. For to you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him. Faith is the gift of God. The ability to believe on God is his gift, not something you manufacture. Unto you is given the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, that's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. Let me tell you, for unto you it is given the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, also to suffer for his sake. It's a blessing. If we get the glory, we'll be glad. He said that in Matthew 5, didn't he? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's so good, I'm going to say it again. You'll pay attention to it? Kind of hard to grab a hold of, isn't it? But it's the Bible, folks. That's Jesus Christ speaking. Jesus Christ speaking. And the Beatitudes. The longest of the Beatitudes. More verses on that than all any other one. Blessed are you which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for you are the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you. Blessed, that means real happy. When men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. And a parallel account in Luke 6 said, leap for joy in that day. And God gives us the grace to do it. Brother Zach, I haven't got that kind of grace. You don't need it yet. But you need to know all about it. Okay, look at Acts chapter 5, verse 41. This is when they had gotten beaten. I have never been beaten for my faith. I may get something, I don't know. But didn't feel all that good, probably. But here's what they did. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. My friends, over men and women like we are. They just had God's grace. They're not supermen there. They were people who hurt just like we hurt. They were embarrassed like we get embarrassed. It must have been intimidating to get caught up, just a bunch of old country boys with no formal education, because none of them had formal education except Luke, whatever, he wasn't even an apostle. But my friends didn't get caught before this real intimidating bunch of scholars in the Supreme Court lost authority. But they were not cowed down by them. We won't be cowed down either if we have God's Holy Spirit. All right. Okay, my next thing is this. We got to ask God to strengthen us. We must not be weak and cowardly. We cannot be weak and cowardly. Don't have a weak and cowardly mindset. Let me give you some scriptures. We did this morning, read that. Over in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I love that verse. I love that verse. Every synonym about strength in the New Testament is right there in that verse. That's a power. I preached on one time down in Texas. Just that one verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And that's not some kind of a mysterious deal. He takes us to the whole armor of God, if you'll study that letter down there. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit with the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We got the weapons we need. We just need to put them on. So I'm not asking you to be strong yourself. You won't be. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. When Paul was writing to Timothy, this is Paul's last letter of 2 Timothy, he was trying to give some fortitude to Timothy to carry on after I'm gone. So he told him over in the 2 Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace of the Lord. Don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in his grace. All right. Now, here's some verses that ought to really make us be very careful and not be cowards. Ready? It's kind of shaming us a little bit. But let's remember this, and that's got to help us. Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Are we going to faint? Well, if we do, we got to repent and get strong, haven't we? We got to repent and get strong. That's all. Help each other out, get strong. Pray for each other. Have a good prayer meeting like we did this morning. Help the kids at home. Have a positive mindset. If thou faint in the day of adversity, like I say, how I've been keeping fainting? Every time I've been thinking about the last now few days, who's in power? Oop! Like a right in the stomach. Instantly, God, you're on the throne. It helps. 10 times a day, do it 10 times a day. It's the truth. The old devil shoots those arrows, stick the shield up. Stick the shield up. I'm putting up the shield of faith, buddy, right there. These old cotton pickers may look like they're winning. They're not winning. They're losing. Big time losing. I want you to pray for me. I want to preach a sermon real bad one of these days. I won't preach it right away, but I want you to just write this down. I want to preach a sermon on being on the right side of history at the judgment seat. I won't preach that. They thought, you're on the wrong side of history. You don't go to the LBGT agenda. You wouldn't find out who's on the right side of history, buddy, at the judgment day. I don't want to preach a sermon on that. You think about that. I want to be on the right side of history on judgment day. Because judgment day is coming. Now, look over in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. We need to be strong. I hope that I am impressing you today, and we can help God. I mean, we ask God to help us be strong. And just take baby steps at least towards that being strong. God will help us if we do that. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or even think. Over in Jeremiah 12, 5. If thou hast run the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? See, here's some footmen running. We can't even run with them. We just can't, somebody just running. We can't keep up with him. What in the world are we going to do when the horses come? Read this context there, Jeremiah. We just got some footmen messing around now, and they get us in trouble. Let's get with it, get in shape, get in spiritual shape. And when the horsemen come, we can run the horses too. The Bible full of people who did it. Read Hebrews 11 if you don't believe that. All right, now what I'm going to do is give you some practical stuff and quit. I'm going to quit after I give you some practical stuff. But this is very important, so don't you tune me out. Don't you tune me out. All these considerations should motivate us to prepare for hard times. How do we do that? Well, number one, developing our prayer lives. How's your prayer life? You know how it is. I want you to develop your prayer life. I'm glad we're starting meeting at 9:30 now for prayer. You work hard at prayer. Judy and I pray. We do every Sunday morning. We pray for preachers every Sunday morning. My wife and I do that. We did it this morning. Not bragging. We're just doing it. Develop your prayer life. Everybody, every group, teenagers, you can pray, can't you? You can pray, can't you? You don't need to be a grown to pray, do you? Can't little kids pray? What about Biddy Pill? Can they pray? What about Dave's mom? Can they pray? You can all pray. You better get to praying. You need some help, I'll help you if you'll come see me. Get your mom and dad help you. Teach them how to pray. That's no legitimate. Luke 11, they heard the disciple who had been praying all their lives, heard Jesus Christ pray. They're so impressed. And, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, they say that I can say it. I've been praying a long time. I'm still saying, God, teach me to pray better. Develop your prayer life. You know, we need the Lord, don't we? You've got a lot of electrical appliances, I bet you. I bet you got a vacuum cleaner at the house, haven't you? I bet you got things you plug your phone in with and all that. You got a bunch of stuff, haven't you? A lot of that costs a lot of money. Guess what? If you didn't have any electricity, none of this stuff would work. I remember one time, you know, a couple times here, we would have the power cut off. I was just thinking when I was back in the church rug, Lord, thank you for that electricity. And this thing wouldn't work. I don't care if I had a $500 vacuum cleaner. It wouldn't work without electricity. Nothing works without God. So plug on in. If you pray hard enough, you might get to plug into a 220. Old Epaphras did over at the closet, right on chapter 4. He got some 220, man. All right. Maybe if you slide it too quick, you might get like, no, I'll take it back. All right, praying. What else are we going to do to get ready? Let me do two more things. Now, listen to this. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm going to give you some steps of the Word of God. What do we need to be doing? Reading. Some of you are not reading. I know you're not. Get on it and get reading. Build some habits into you still got time to make some resolutions in 2021. Reading. Memorizing. You can do some anyway. Meditating. And obeying. How about that? Studying. Memorizing. Meditating and obeying God's Word. That'll help you get strong. By regular attendance on corporate worship. I wish some of you folks who don't come back on Sunday night would start coming. I'm not fussing at y'all. Let me tell you where I am on stuff like that. Now, when I was a young preacher, I would take the hide off. That wasn't right. I quit that now. But here's what I'll say. You know your situation. You need to be the best you can. God knows who you are. If you're goofing off, that's between you and God. I'm just telling you, the preacher, you get here every time you can. You ought to be here. And the church, how do we say, we're going to meet when the church meets. If you're just lazing off on Sunday night, that's between you and God. I'm not going to take the hat off, but God might. I don't think we're hungry enough yet. I know we're thankful we can meet. I know that. We met outside. We've done, and I appreciate the Lord. I'm not fussing at any of y'all, but I don't think we're hungry enough yet. My friend, you go to India sometime. Asking can tell you about that. You go to the Philippines even. I'm telling you, my friend, I've seen people in India walk half a day to get to church. I remember one night at Kota Lumpur. Never will forget that. Kota Lumpur. Kota Manalur, I mean. It was raining cats and dogs. And we got people who got wet. They were graciously gave me an umbrella, which amazed me. They were so kind to us. They got wet, had to walk home and stay in these little huts. And I don't know how they dry their clothes, but they love to come to church for myself what they do. In the Philippines, Jeff Winfrey was over there one time, had people who had ridden bicycles, taken buses, all kinds of stuff. They had five preachers there. They said, we want all y'all to preach. That's never happened at Grace Chapel. Now, I'm not fussing at you because y'all do like preaching. You really do. I'm glad you do. But the point I'm making is, I'm not trying to say, let's be extremists. Let's just get in here. But brother and sister, we're not hungry enough. If we were really persecuted and the doors really were shut, we would be doing some things. So I'm asking you, I beg you, you talk to God, do the very best you can. I'll be thrilled to see the people who showed up on Sunday nights that hadn't. I'll be thrilled about that. So we need to hear the gospel and be together. Oh, I love you very much. I love you very much. I hope you'll pray for me as I try to preach through 1 Peter, as I try to write that commentary. And I pray for Isaac, God. I mean, the Lord bless him. Read Esther. Read it and reread it. Do the same with 1 Peter. May God bless you. Thank you for your good attention.